The Tokyo Olympics are only 41 days away. Excitement is starting to build. And the chef de mission for the Australian Olympic team, a Tasmanian as well, is Ian Chesterman, who joins me now. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Matt. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, nice to catch up with you again. Just explain what the chef de mission's role is, because a lot of people may not have heard the term before. Of course, it's a French term, and because Baron Pierre de Coubertin was French, he revived the ancient Olympic Games in 1896. So it's one of those sort of almost antiquated terms that's used to describe basically, the boss of the team.
Well, that's right. It is the head of a delegation, and we have two official languages in the Olympic movement, English and French. So we need to recognise both, I suppose, and it's the term which is now commonly used across English and French to describe that head of a delegation. So ultimately, the buck stops with me, and we've got a big operation over there. We've got we'll have close to 500 athletes. We'll have close to 350 support staff helping those athletes be successful over there at the game. So it's a pretty big group. Hopefully, we'll have one of the biggest teams over there. We're expecting to be in the top five teams of all nations out of 206 at the games.
It's unlike any games we've ever had before, of course, because it has been postponed for 12 months, and there's still a lot of conjecture that it may not go ahead. But you'd be fairly confident at this point, only 41 days out?
I think we're beyond fairly confident. You know, the games are proceeding. That's very clear. And we're full steam ahead to make sure we're ready for greeting the first athletes who arrive over there on the 13th of July. So 41 days till the games start, but it's only around 30-odd days until our first athletes arrive.
What has the pandemic meant for you as chef de mission? Obviously, you know, we had to have all our athletes vaccinated, and there's all sorts of precautions that are going to be put in place once you get to Tokyo. What sort of a difference has that made to your workload? Is it more than doubled it, or is it something you've been able to delegate to others?
Well, no, we've got an amazing team at the Australian Olympic Committee. We're very lucky to be a well-resourced, very professional operation. And that's come, you know, because we do have one of the top five teams that will go to the game. So in terms of size and also we know our athletes perform, you know, right up there with the best in the world as well. So we need to have a very good operation. We do have a very good operation. The Australian sports system is a very sophisticated one. It's been my pleasure across the last 3 or 4 years to work with all the summer sports, and I've been really impressed by the quality of people that run each of those operations. So, you know, I rely very heavily on them, obviously, but it has been a very complex game to organise, no question about that, because some of the things we normally just take for granted, which is how do you fly to Japan, for example, we've had to organise, you know, charter flights and come to arrangements with other carriers just to get our team there. We're dealing with matters like quarantine, you know, how are we going to quarantine all those people when they come back after the game. So it's a very complex game. Obviously, a lot of restrictions being put on us by the organising committee. Naturally enough, they want to protect the people of Japan from COVID as well. So there's going to be a lot of restrictions put on us at the games and how we operate in Tokyo during the games. So it's really a matter of dealing with all those things over and above what you'd normally be dealing with just to get a team of around 850 people to Olympic Games and back.
For people who don't know your background, you're based in winter sports. I think you've been to, I think, 6 or 7 Winter Olympics as chef de mission. This is your first one as the Summer Games. Is the role any different between the two?
I think it's just more moving parts. I think it's, you know, you're dealing with the same issues all the time. Obviously, a team of 50 for winter compared to 500 for summer is a big difference. And we've got, instead of 7 sports, we've got 33-plus sports in summer. So there's just more moving parts. The actual way we approach the games is very similar, though. So what we're doing is just empowering each of the sports to do what they need to do to be the best they can be over at the games. But in other ways, you're still dealing with an organising committee. You're still dealing with the government here. You're still dealing with the embassy in Tokyo. You're still dealing with sponsors. So it's certainly it's a fantastic role, and I certainly take some comfort from the fact that I've done 6 as chef de mission of the Winter Games. So it gives me a basis to take on the summer job, but it's certainly a big role, and it's obviously one that's, you know, really important to the Australian population, the Australian people, because we know the summer team you know, has produced so many heroes for us over such a long time.
And you're also the Vice President of the Australian Olympic Committee when you're not my boss at Targa Tasmania, so you're obviously keeping fairly busy with this.
Yeah, lucky there's 24 hours in every day, Martin, and there's 7 days a week. So, yeah, we're busy time, but it's a very exciting time. I'm very, very lucky at what I do to be working with those good people I talked about before. And also, you know, the athletes this week, I had the real pleasure of ringing up our marathon runners and who have just named this week. I wasn't able to get to them to hand them their happy coat and their Qantas boarding pass. So I was just rang them up to say congratulations and just to talk to them to sense their excitement. It's a real privilege to be involved at that level.
It's funny you should mention marathon runners because as a Tasmanian, I suppose it's disappointing that Millie Clark didn't put her hand up. She just said she wasn't going to go this year because she didn't think it would be a true Olympic experience, which I guess is disappointing.
I think each athlete has to make their own decision about, you know, what it means to go to Tokyo. We've had a couple. Amy Keogh is another Tasmanian athlete who was selected.
Even though she's retired.
Before the postponement. Mm. And she then decided that, you know, she couldn't do another year in the sport, so she's pulled out of the team, and that created an opportunity for somebody else. So, you know, there's been a number of athletes who have decided that the year was just too much, and the prospect of going to Tokyo in this environment wasn't for them, but that's absolutely their right. I respect that, absolutely, but I also know there's, you know, an enormous number of athletes who are just so pleased the games are going ahead when they would have had doubts across the last 12 months, were they going ahead now, just 40-odd days to go, they know the games are going ahead, and that's enormous relief for them because they've put in so much work to get ready for these games. And many athletes only have one game. So, you know, to lose a generation of Olympians, I think, would be very sad for them, obviously, but also, you know, disappointing for communities right around the country where those people come from and who provide so much inspiration for that communities and the other younger athletes that are following in their footsteps.
Does your role extend to the Paralympic scene or is it someone else's job?
No, that's somebody else's job. I'm coming home after the Olympic Games. I reckon that's a good move that somebody fresh can come in and run that really important campaign for those athletes.
And finally, we're hearing speculation as to whether there'll be an opening ceremony or not, and I don't think that's such a big deal for the athletes. I think it's more for the spectators and for the public watching around the world. But what's your news telling you about whether it'll go ahead or not, the opening ceremony?
Yeah, no doubt that there will be an opening and closing ceremony. What that looks like, we don't know yet. They're giving us the rules of engagement, if you like, in playbooks. They're calling them playbooks. And we've had playbook one and playbook two. Playbook three is out next week, and I'm expecting a lot more detail in that as to how the games will operate, and particularly opening and closing ceremonies. So I've no doubt that there will be opening and closing ceremonies. We just don't know yet what that means for each team involved, but I'm sure that we will have flag bearers marching into that opening ceremony, so hopefully there's other athletes who can go in there with them.
Yeah, the playbooks will give you something to read on the plane, I reckon. Ian, thanks for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Good luck, and please take our best wishes to everyone that's wearing the green and gold over the next month or so. But thank you for your time this morning.
Good. Thanks, Martin.